Okay, we've been looking at, in the morning messages, we've been looking at this concept of how we can be free from the sin nature. And I know that Scripture indicates there are three enemies. We have three spiritual enemies, and that's very important in Scripture. Most of Christendom has one enemy as a spiritual Christian, and they call that Satan. But Scripture is very clear. We have three spiritual enemies. We have Satan, we have the world system, but we have the flesh that is within us. And it works out that since the flesh is in us, that it's something we have to deal with all the time. And it's really our primary enemy, although we will be dealing with the rest of them, the other enemies in this series. But the enemy that's within this you know what? I don't have an outline. I got one. Somewhere. The enemy that's within is all Christians have this enemy. It comes from the fall of Satan. You know what? If we're just going to have to take a... I do need an outline, I guess. Isn't that interesting? Well, you know that enemy's attacking us right now. Before we turn to the Word of God, let's turn to the God of the Word. Our Father, we do thank you for your Word. We thank you for the fact that you can overrule the foibles of men, and that as we look into your word, we can see those things that you have for us, and we're giving you the thanks. Amen. Now, if you turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, we see here that the flesh, or the enemy that is within, is, you know what, that still perplexes me where I put stuff. I might have printed out the wrong, that's the thing with modern stuff. Just completely disregard your outline. We're going to go straight from the hip here because we think we know this material. If you turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, we want to see here that overcoming the flesh, or overcoming that entity that is within us, has to do with reckoning ourselves dead unto the sin nature, but alive unto God. And we're going to refresh our memories as we go to the 11th verse. Likewise, in this fashion, and it's going back to verse 9, that believing you shall also live with him. Likewise, in this fashion, reckon, and this reckon has to do with the concept of count it as so, logically count it as so, that you also yourselves now be dead on one hand under the sin nature. And here it's talking about a sin principle. But on the other hand, alive unto the God in Christ Jesus. The order should be turned around in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what we have here in very cryptic form and in very capsulate form is we have the way that the Christian can overcome the sin nature. And we're going to be looking at that today. Now, one of the things that as we overcome the sin nature is we have to reckon ourselves dead unto it. You cannot attack a dead... You can't solicit a dead person to do anything unless it's on TV or in a made-up show. But a dead body can't do anything. And so if we reckon ourselves dead to the sin nature, what we're saying is we're inanimate to it. But it doesn't stop there. The verse doesn't stop there. It keeps going and says, but you're also, on the other hand, alive unto the God. And here I believe that we're alive unto God the Father. We were born into the family of God, but we don't always act like it. And in this series, what we're trying to do is to show how we can act like we are a child of God. Now, if we look down at towards the last part of the 13th verse, as those that are alive out from among dead ones. Now, what God does, what it's saying here, this is using pictorial language. Let me say it another way. God here is using language that is to draw a picture. It's not actual. But God looks at mankind as being dead, dead spiritually. Now, that's a very important concept. There are two levels of life. There's spiritual life, and there is physical life. Keep your finger here and turn over to 1 Timothy. This is a good verse to prove this, that 1 Timothy, and we want to look at the 5th chapter. And in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, we see that there are two levels of life. Now, what it's going to talk about here is a very lively woman, and I want you to think of those kind of women that they have on the TV where they're advertising hair products or shampoo or any of those kind of, and they never, you know the kind I'm talking about. And in this verse, it's talking about that type of person. And in the 6th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy, he says, but she that lives, now obviously there's two levels of life. She that lives physically in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, what does that mean? It means that everybody that's alive physically isn't necessarily alive spiritually. Now, let's go back over to the book of Romans and let's look at the 13th verse. That we are to act as those that are alive, not just animated spiritually, but how are we animated? Alive from among dead ones. Prior to our salvation, we were dead spiritually. After our salvation, we are alive spiritually. But we don't always act like it. And what Paul and the Holy Spirit are doing here is they're saying we ought to act like we are. We ought to act the way we are. Now, if you go down in this context, this should be review. Know ye not, verse 16, that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servant you are. The word servant here could be translated slave. To whom you obey, whether to the sin nature is unto death physically. Now what it's talking about here is a Christian in this context. We tried to develop this context previously. If a Christian dedicates their life to sin, they will die physically before their time. I have to tell you, there's a couple parameters going on here today. I got the plague earlier in the week, and I haven't completely gotten rid of it. So we might take a pause here and there. And if it looks like I'm taking a pause, trust me, it's for your sake as well as mine. So whether you be servants or slaves unto the sin nature, it's unto physical death, or the obedience unto righteousness. So a Christian really has a choice of living in one of two natures. And in these two natures, we can manifest our old nature, our sin nature would be a better term. We can manifest our sin nature even though we're Christians. And if you read the epistles of Paul, what he's saying is don't act like you're unsaved. That's the primary message of the Pauline epistles. Act like you're in this new family. And he gives us the material. He gives us the processes by which we can do that. So we can then live a life unto righteousness. And then in the next verse he defines it, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. And here he's talking about the sin nature. Now we're going to see some verses today that have to do with the fact that sin is used several different ways. There can be a sin act, or there's a sin principle that lies within each of us. We at salvation, now listen to me carefully. This is something that most in Christendom do not get correctly. In salvation, we do not lose our sin nature. We get a new nature. That new nature is a divine nature. We'll be showing you that, Lord willing. And we remember the outline that I didn't bring today. I don't know how. You understand that printing off of printers is part of the world system, and the world system messed me up, and we got the wrong week that we printed for you. But we'll get it. So then, verse 17, but God be thanked that you were slaves of the sin nature, but you have obeyed out from the heart that form of New Testament doctrine which was delivered unto you. Now this has to do with this word for doctrine. There's two words in the New Testament for doctrine. This is the one that is practiced. Being then that you are free from the sin nature, you became slaves of righteousness. Now one of the things that we have in the New Testament, we have the ability to not be slaves of the sin nature anymore. According to Scripture, I know this sounds tough, but it's Scripture. An unsaved person is an absolute slave to the sin nature. Most Christians are. But all of us as Christians have the potential not to be slaves of the sin nature. Now, over in the seventh chapter, which is where we were heading today, you have a very complicated section where Paul is talking about an experience, and he's going to use the present tense. Paul is talking about an experience that he had prior to salvation, or that he, excuse me, I almost did what the modernists do. He's talking about an experience he had after salvation. Now, to understand this, you need to know that Paul had between 7 and 10 year silence after his salvation. And during that period of silence, Paul was working through some of the concepts that he's going to teach later on. And as we come down to the seventh chapter, I want you to see in the seventh verse, he's going to, let's start with the sixth verse because it tells you that, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve as slaves the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, a lot of people want to put Christians under law, and you cannot do it. You cannot do it. The law of Christ is not a negative law. I want to be very careful with that as we read this section. In the Old Testament, if you read the law, and really you cannot just take the Ten Commandments. You have to take the statutes and the judgments all together. And there were Ten Commandments, but that's not all of the law. There were the statutes which added to those Ten Commandments, and there were the judgments. Those were the consequences. And if you read the Ten Commandments correctly and you add them and you hook them up with the judgments, you realize that the first seven commandments were a death penalty. And the eighth commandment that you, if you did it to another Jew, was a death penalty some of the time. So when we come then to the New Testament and the New Law, keep your finger here and go over, if you will, over to Galatians, the fifth chapter, we're under a different kind of law. It's a law that cannot be broken. Now here's Paul reiterating it, and then we'll go back to John, the 13th chapter. Let's look at I'm in Galatians, the sixth chapter, and the second verse. Bear one another's burdens, this is talking about other Christians, or load, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to look at it again, back in the 13th chapter of John. The law of Christ cannot be broken. It cannot be fulfilled, but it cannot be broken. In the Old Testament, All the laws, except one of them, were negative. Don't do this or you'll die. Don't do this or you'll die. And then one of them, which is stated in the positive, honor their father and your mother. If you keep reading in the context, if you don't, you'll die. But here you have the law of Christ. Now, if you go back in the context to the fifth chapter in the 13th verse, for brethren, you have not been called to liberty only to use liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but to love and but by love slave one another. That's the new commandment. Go back to the 13th chapter. I realize we're in the 7th chapter of Romans. Go back to the 13th chapter of John. This is the night before Christ died, and Christ is anticipating his death, burial, and resurrection. And in the 34th verse, he doesn't summarize. I want to be very careful with this. In the 34th verse, he is not summarizing the Ten Commandments. How do I know that? In the Ten Commandments, it says, love one another as you love yourself. That's how Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments. But here, watch what he says, a new. Now, this word for new, there's two different words for new. This is new in character and not heard before. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's the new commandment. That's the commandment that Paul is talking about over in the book of Galatians in the sixth chapter. That we love one another. That commandment cannot be broken. It's not stated in a negative manner. That commandment shows no penalty. That's a commandment that we're to fulfill. Now, if you go back over to Romans, the 7th chapter, what he's saying that in the 6th verse, that we've been delivered to the law that was all negative. Now we have a positive law that is called the law of Christ. We showed you that over in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And the law of Christ cannot be broken, it is not always fulfilled. It's not stated in a negative manner. What, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is law sin? And you have in the King James, God forbid, may it not be so. No, we're not saying that the law was a sin. The law did prove that mankind were sinners, but it was not sin. Nay, I had not experientially known. And here he's talking about his sin nature. I hadn't experientially known my sin nature, but through law. Now, what he's going to say is, it is human nature. And if you've had kids, you know this to be true. And if you're honest with yourself, you know this to be true. That when somebody draws a line, it is human nature to say, I wonder if I can step over. Oh, look back there. And then you step over. That's human nature. And Paul's saying, no, the law was not wrong, but he said it did point out that when you have a rule, that you have a sin nature. Nay, I had not experientially known sin except through a quality of law, for I had not known lust. Now watch this word lust. Now, I want to be very careful. Epithumia, this word for lust, just means strong desire. Keep your finger here, and I'll show you that that is not always bad. Turn over to Galatians, the 5th chapter. You'll see that the Holy Spirit has lusts. Verse 17. We're going to come back to this verse again. Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And the Spirit, what? Lusts against the flesh, has strong desires. So it's lust can be good depending on its source, or it can be bad depending on its source. The Holy Spirit has lust. Let's go back over to Romans, the 7th chapter. Nay, I had not experientially known my sin nature, but through law. Now, what that's saying is that the minute somebody, using my terms, the minute somebody puts a restriction on, it's human nature to try and cross that line. For I had not experientially known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now we know from the New Testament what the law was saying. You shall not covet. In the New Testament, that word translated is lust. Let me just say, the 10th commandment, every one of the nation Israel, and if I were there and you were there, broke every day. Now you'll go back and read the 10 commandments to see what I was talking about. They broke it every day, if they were honest with themselves. I had not known strong desire or lust, except that the law said, you shall not have strong desire or lust. But sin, talking about the sin principle, making occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of lust. You have concupiscence, it's lust. For without law, sin is dead. Now what it's saying here is that no matter how you construct rules, when you draw a line, it is human nature. That's the fallen nature we all still have. It is human nature to try and cross the line. And when God draws a line, if you cross the line, it's called sin. For I was alive without law once. Now what Paul is going to say, a lot of people misunderstand this section. And the way we're going to this section is we're going to show that in our two natures, if we're not careful, our sin nature will always win. Now, let me be more careful with my language. Without divine enabling, our sin nature will always win. I should mention for about the third time, if you have an outline, it has nothing to do with what we're going to do today because I printed off the wrong one for both you and me. Now, we're in the seventh chapter. But sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me verse 8, all manner of lust, concupiscence. For without law, sin is dead. And what it's saying, the sin nature, whenever it sees a barrier, will always try to cross it. It's called rebellion. And it's true of all of us. It comes out different in all of us. You know, if you read over in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, you read all the works of the flesh, not any individual expresses all the works of the flesh at one time. Some of them are mutually exclusive. But all of us have some of those works of the flesh that try to express themselves in our life. Let's continue. For I was alive without the quality of law once. Now what that's saying is when he was first saved, he was spiritual. That's very important. But when the commandment came, sin, and if you mark in your Bible, put it in there, the sin nature was revived and I died. What he's saying is he put himself back under law. And one thing the law does do is prove you have a sin nature. And Paul, at the beginning of his salvation, this is his 7 to 10 years of silence, at the beginning of his salvation, he knew that he shouldn't be under law, but he went back under it anyway. And you're going to see the consequences. And the commandment which was to life, I found to be to death. Now back in verse 1 of the 6th chapter, he says, since we're not under law anymore, should we just let the sin nature do whatever it wants? And the answer is no way. If you want to be politically correct, no way, Jose. Should you do that? And the commandment which was to life, I found to be unto death. Now what he's talking about, And we've developed this many times. We tried to develop it earlier. Back up in verse 16 of the sixth chapter, that if a Christian continues to sin and willfully disobeys the Father, there is a sin unto death. Now, this is what we're doing in Sunday school, but if you keep your finger here and go over to 1 John, the fifth chapter, 1 John, the fifth chapter, you can see that I'm telling you true. We're developing this in Sunday school. Right in towards the last of verse 16, what does it say? There is a quality of sin unto death. And it's talking about physical death. So a Christian can hasten their life cycle. That's what we've been developing in Sunday school. Back over to the seventh chapter and of the book of Romans. And Paul had, let's just be careful with Scripture. Paul was initially saved and he was spiritual for a while. And then his heritage, he's saying it here, came back to him. He'd been raised a Jew of the Jews. And he went back under, trying to go back under law. And that's when he discovered that his sin nature was running rampant. Now that's verse 11. For sin, then he's talking about nature here. If you're marking your Bible, put an N there for nature. Take an occasion by the commandment, deceive me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is set apart or holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? It's not so. But sin nature, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment by becoming exceedingly sinful. And what that's saying is, as we come over the New Testament, we have an enabling that they didn't have in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, everything was set up, don't do this, don't do this. And if you read your New Testament correctly, the emphasis is not on what not to do, but on what to do. And Paul had put himself back under that negative kind of law. Let me say this again, because my mind isn't working the way it probably should. It doesn't work that good all the time anyway, but it's not working as good as it usually does. Which isn't complimenting myself. But under the new commandment, you can't break it. The new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, cannot be broken. It might not be fulfilled, but it can't be broken in a negative way, the way the Ten Commandments were broken. Now that brings us to verse 14. For I, this is should be a singular first person, I on one hand intellectually know that the law is spiritual. And he's not saying it's spiritual in terms of from the Spirit. He's saying it appeals to your rationale. It's rational for a tribe, 12 tribes and one race to not kill each other. It's rational that they don't mess with other people's women. It's rational that they don't steal other people's stuff. The law was rational. But even then, they couldn't fulfill it. But I, Paul, am carnal. Now I want to talk about this word carnal. It means emanating things of the flesh. Now we all Christians have, and this is something that's denied by most of Christendom, all Christians still have a sin nature. I still have a sin nature. My wife can attest to that. Anybody here thinks they don't still have a sin nature after they're saved? Let me talk to your spouse or somebody in your family. We all still have a sin nature, but we have a new nature. And that new nature is where we are bonded to deity. Now, if you keep your finger here and go over to 2 Peter, 2 Peter, the first chapter and the fourth verse, I want to show you this. So what I'm saying, and you can see in this diagram up here, a Christian has two natures. As an unsaved person, there is a dichotomy in the unsaved person doing what they think is good, and they know that they should do it in the realm of their fallen nature, or doing what they really want to do. And there is that dilemma. But as a Christian, we have an even greater dilemma in that now we can't just do what feels good. We can't just do what we would like to do. We are to do what God wants us to do. And here's where it comes from. Over in 2 Peter, the first chapter and the fourth verse, whereby we are given to us greatest and precious promises. By these, that is to say, you might be partakers. This word partakers is the same word, has the same root in the table that we're going to observe later in the day. The word, we call it the communion table or the Lordian table. This word means to share in common. To share in common. That we share in common the divine nature. Now that does not mean we're deity, but it means in the realm of our new birth that we are bonded to the divine nature. And that's what it's saying here, that we are partakers. We don't have all of, we're not, God isn't in all of our, then this isn't talking about we become God. It's talking about we're bonded in the area of our human spirit. There's a bond there that bonds to God's spirit. That's what it's talking about. So we have a new nature as a result of that, that we share in the divine nature. Now, we also still have our old nature. And you'll never understand this next section we're going to talk about unless you understand that we have two natures, and I've drawn them up here. We have, and I put two natures here, and each of these natures have a desire. This is a very important concept. And in the original language, this word desire is usually translated will, and if you have an interlinear, it starts with a theta. This word desire, or thelo, we have two of those. And when we get down to the person, we have what's called a determination or a bulimai. This is, and you'll never understand this section. This section will become absolutely nonsense if you don't get what I'm trying to say. As a Christian, I don't care what the evangelist said, all of our problems are not solved. Now we have another dimension of problems. But we have divine enabling that we can overcome those problems with. And in our salvation, we receive a new nature. He doesn't get rid of our old nature. And really, old nature is the improper term. I should say our sin nature. So we have a sin nature that we had as an unsaved person. When we get saved, and I know in child evangelism, there's what they call the wordless book. And in the wordless book, they have the first page, and the first page is black, it was felt. And this is your dirty heart. And then they turn the page and they say, there's a red page, it's felt, and it says, this is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ washes your old dirty black heart, and then they turn the page and they say it's white. That's not Scripture. That's the wordless book. Scripture says that God doesn't wash our old dirty heart white. He gives us a new heart. And you're not going to understand this section unless you understand that we have that dichotomy within us. Now, an unsaved person has a dichotomy within them in the sense that they know they should do something, but they don't do it. But they can have multiple desires within them. But we have desires that come from our new nature and desires that come from our sin nature. And so we should call this a sin nature rather than old nature. But we get a new nature when we are regenerated. And this, if you don't get this, you're not going to get this section. This section is going to be the most nonsensical section you've ever seen in your life. But it's very important. So we're going to make distinctions here. We have two sets of desires. This new nature desires to do things that come in terms of how God wants us to behave. The old nature has the same desires that we had prior to our salvation. And the dichotomy or the dilemma in the Christian life is, which nature are you going to act from? When you act from this nature, it's a sin. When you act from this nature, it's pleasing to God. Now let's define some terms and then we're going to look into Scripture. There's two words in the original language that are translated will. Not will as part of a verb, a future verb to be, but will as to desire. And there's a desirous will that comes from each of these natures. But there's a determination that goes with a person. Let me say that another way. As a Christian, I could have my sin nature appeal to me to do something that's attractive, but I know to be a sin, and trust me, sin can be attractive initially, or else you wouldn't want to do it. But my new nature desires me not to do it. Those two natures are antipodal and in opposition to each other. You'll never understand the Christian life unless you understand that you have two natures. This is the new nature you get at salvation. This is the old nature you get at birth. Remember we read that attractive woman that's walking down the street, we read this in 1 Timothy, that she's dead while she liveth. She's alive in this nature, but she doesn't have this nature. She doesn't have a spiritual life. Now, let's go to verse 14. I was carnal, sold under the sin nature. So now, he's going to talk about a historical event that took place during his 7 to 10 years of silence after his salvation. And during those 7 to 10 years of silence, Paul goes through an experience that if we read, we don't have to go through. Unfortunately, most of us do. And what he's going to say is, he goes through these. You will not get it if you don't get that you have two sets of desires. Only one person. Bulimai, or determination, comes with a person. Desires come with the nature. If you want to know what comes with this nature, they're over in Galatians, the 5th chapter. All that Tommy rot that we all have done and shouldn't have ought to have done. Now that's what he's talking about. So when you see the word carnal in the 14th verse, carnal has an ending. That means that he was emanating things. And what does carnal mean? Have you ever had chili con carne? What that means is beans with flesh. So carnal, they translate this many different ways. Sometimes it's translated flesh. Sometimes it's or fleshly. It'd be probably the proper term or proper form. Or it's translated carnal. It means the same thing. Now, if you keep your, if I can remember, I'm in the 14th verse. But if you look over at verse 18, he talks about my flesh. And where does he say the flesh is? It's in him. Now, flesh is used several different ways. But one of the ways it's used is to indicate our position in Adam and the sin nature we have. And that's how he's using it here. Look down at verse 20. He calls this same entity that he says is within him. He calls it down in verse 20, but the sin that dwells in me. So where is this nature? It's in him. Now go to about down to verse 23. Here's another term. We're going to come back to these verses. Towards the end of verse 33, he says it is the law or principle, P-L-E, of sin, which is in my members. Which is it? It's all three. This sin nature means that you have the propensity to do this when you're moving in the realm of the sin nature. Nature means the way you operate. Where is it contained? Verse 18, in our flesh, in our body. And what does it produce? Verse 23, it produces a principle of sin. P-L-E, not P-A-L. It's a principle of sin. So this sin principle has desires. Those desires are listed in Galatians, the fifth chapter. Let's turn there very quickly so you can see them. Galatians, the fifth chapter. And it's talking about the same thing. And this is a list you should remember. Verse 19. For the works, here it's talking about in verse 16, it's talking about lusts. In verse 17, it's talking about the flesh lust. That means has strong desires. And then when works means when it comes out in activity, and then it gives a whole list of them. And there's a long list here. And in the first four, you have sexual deviance. And then you have idolatry in verse 22. You have religious superstitious awe, hatred, variance, strife, wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Oh, I thought Satan made murderers. No, the flesh does that. There would be murdering without Satan. Drunkenness and reveling and such like. That's the flesh. Now let's go back over to verse 14 of the seventh chapter. When Paul says, I was carnal, he's saying I emanated in the past. This is a historical account. I emanated things of the flesh. So what nature was he operating in for these 7 to 10 years? He was operating in the realm of his sin nature. Now, let's be very careful. Verses 15 through 22 are absolutely nonsensical unless you get this. As a Christian, we're one person. We're not schizo. We're one person. However, when we behave, we are acting on one of these natures. When we act in the realm of our new nature, we do godly things. It's called godliness. When we act in the realm of our old nature, it's called acting from the flesh. And you're going to see this struggle that Paul has. Now, go back in the context. What does he say? That last part of verse 14. What does Paul say here? I was sold under sin. And he's talking about a nature. So Paul's going to, in the next few verses, Paul's going to describe a personal experience that he went through where he was operating in the realm of his sin nature. And he's giving us this example so that we don't do it. He's not saying this is what you ought to do. Okay, now let's do it. Now, we have to figure out if he's saying, I know I got to guard this 100 different ways. If Paul is saying that he was emanating things of the flesh, that's what carnal means, he was emanating things of the flesh in the next few verses when he describes his historical experience where he was sold under sin, he says that, which of these two natures was he operating in? He was operating in his sin nature. It's a negative example. So in the verses that we read, the one that is victorious of these two natures Let me reiterate. With nature comes desires. If you have an interlinear, you'll see a word that looks like that. Fellow. These natures have desires. The person has to operate on one of these two sets of desires. When the person determines to do something, then that desire is fulfilled and determined and it's done. And that's what he's going to talk about. Verse 15. For that, this is going to sound nonsensical if you don't get these two natures down. For that, now remember, according to verse 14, the sin nature always won during this experience. Never the new nature. So when we go through and interpret it, I'm going to suggest to you where we go over the there's only one I, only one person. We're not talking about a schizo here, but there's only one person, but there's two desires that he can operate on. And in these two desires, if he says that he was emanating things of the flesh, in the next few verses when he explains it, which one is always winning? The sin nature. So over each of these actions, I'm going to tell you, and if you don't get it now, you'll get it sometime. Over the one that loses, we're going to put a little in, because the new nature is always going to lose. Didn't he just say he was sold under the flesh? Under carnal and flesh mean the same thing. Chili con carne means chili with flesh. And then, so we know that the sin nature, or the old nature, sin nature is a better term, is always going to win, and the new nature is always going to lose in this historical experience. Let's go and interpret it. Verse 15, for that which I do, now if the sin nature is always winning, which is the one that's doing it here? Put an S over I there. I, which the sin nature do, I, the new nature, allow not. Hey, I did that. I know I shouldn't do that. I'm going to suggest to you that no Christian, this is scripture, sins and doesn't know it's a sin. Now, they might enjoy it for the time, but God convicts of sin. That's called the reproving ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it another way. You can't do something and not know it's a sin. God makes sure you know what it is. For that which I, this old sin nature, sin nature is a better term, do, I, the new nature, allow not. For that which I, the new nature, desire to do, remember desire, or thelo is here, which I in the realm of my new nature desire to do, that I don't do. What is he saying? I want to do what's right, but functionally, when I actually get into the activity, which nature is winning? That one. Let me say it another way. Without divine enabling, we can never, ever, no way, Jose, overcome the sin nature. We have to have divine enabling. Now, I know you know some people that are so nice. I've known some unsaved people that are so nice. I wonder, don't they ever say anything wrong? Listen, trust me, if I was unsaved, you would know that I needed a Savior. But there are some unsaved people that are so nice. Trust me, according to Scripture, according to Galatians, the 5th chapter, there's some elements in their life that are totally displeasing to God and repugnant. We just see what we see, but God sees it all. For that which I do in the realm of my old nature am doing it. In the realm of my sin nature, I in the new nature allow not. For that which I in the realm of my new nature desire to do, that in the realm of my old nature don't do it. But I hate That I do. That do I. Now, what he's saying, let's just go back up here. When we sin, for the moment we enjoy it, but there's a part of us that looks at it and says, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I hate what I did. And that's repugnant to me. Why did I do that? You ever done something? I know I have. Why did I do that? I did it because I still have a sin nature. And I want you to notice that he's talking about doing stuff, not thinking. Not thinking. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I. Now, which I would this? There's not two I's. There's only one person. One person. But it's the person that's going to move in one of these two realms. It's no more I who identify myself as that do it. Then I do, let's see. Then verse 17. Now then it is no more I in the realm of my new nature that do it. And now he's going to tell you. But the sin nature, and I'm adding the word nature, or sin propensity, or sin principle, that indwells in me. Now, Paul's talking about an experience he had after Christian. Now, let's go back to that example. This child evangelism does this. If at salvation, your old dirty black heart was washed white, what happens if you sin after salvation? Well, you got to be saved again, don't you? Because it gets black. That's not Scripture. Scripture says that we are going to move in the realm of one of these desires, one of these natures. And as a Christian, we can still move in this realm. Now, we had not to do it, but we still can. Now, it is no more I in the realm of my new nature. Don't blame my relationship to God on that I did that. But the sin principle that indwells in me still had this. He had the potential of moving in the realm of his new nature, but he still had his old nature. So we just set up a dilemma, and then we're going to resolve that because I looked at the clock and I didn't have an outline because somehow it got waylaid today. But we're looking at this dilemma that every Christian has. And if you haven't had this, you don't know spiritual life. Every Christian has two desires. The old or sin nature that we had before our save wants us to do things. And it primarily gains its impetus from our soul, which means if it feels good, do it. But we have a new nature where we are bonded in the realm of our human spirit to God's essence. And in that new nature, there's some new desires. And what does he say? These are contrary one to the other. We're going to be spending some more time with it. I hate to stop in the middle of this, but it seems to be our pattern among your pastors that we don't finish our subjects. And it's a continuing pursuit. But we want to look at these two natures next week. How, if we got this dilemma or this dichotomy going on within us, how do we get the one that we want to dominate? How do we get that to dominate? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take divine enabling. It takes divine enabling. Without divine enabling, the old or sin nature will always win. That's what we should take home today. Without divine enabling, the sin nature will always win. What did Paul say at the beginning of this passage? I saw these rules and I was going to obey them. But those rules, along with without divine enabling, i.e. the Holy Spirit, cannot be overcome. So let's do it this way. As Christians, we have two natures. As an unsaved person, sometimes we have conflict as to whether that we're going to get caught doing that, or if that's really what we want to do, or if that'll hurt somebody. But the real dilemma comes when we're saved. Now we have two desires that are contrary one to another. And it is our duty as Christians to study the Bible and understand this new nature and understand how we can be empowered to move in the realm of this new nature and thus please God, keeping in mind that old nature is still there and will be there until we're glorified. And that old nature appeals to stuff that our body likes and that we like prior to our salvation. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you have provisions in your word for us to overcome that sin principle that is within all of us. And we thank you for your grace. Amen. There'll be a short business meeting and Lordian table downstairs. Is that what's going on? Oh, you're going to have the Lordian table up here? Okay. My sin nature said to obey the rules of these people. We got any deacons?
We got one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if the deacons will come forward, or the deacon.